compelling radio.
Sorry.
That's all right. No. The more we record, the better.
It'll be, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, it gives me more to edit from.
Okay.
I can make you say whatever I want you to say.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably be better than what I say.
No, it usually is, because,
yeah,
you know, whenever you record something, there's a lot of ums and ers, and I go in.
Do you have a list of words you like me to say, like, singularly, or Jew?
A lot of thes.
Uh-huh.
I have a list of phonemes here, actually, that you can go through.
Uh-huh.
You know, your K and your E and your I. And just, you know, basically,
you're literally going to phonetically.
I'm going to piece together.
That is very serial killer.
I'm going to take it. And I'm going to make a collage out of your voice.
Okay.
And make you say things you never intended to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cole's the best podcaster ever.
No, I would definitely say that.
Yeah.
If you made me.
Brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So what is this? What are we doing?
No clue.
I don't know either.
I don't.
See, it's so easy, like, when you're thinking about it, to think about what you're going to say. Like, you know, I was at a store earlier today, and I was really frustrated, and I thought, oh gosh, you know, I feel like blood's going to come out of my ears because I'm being both ignored and violated at the same time. I was like, oh, this will be something that we can do for our as of yet unnamed show. But mm-hmm. the second, you know, you see in my case, the red light come on, or you see the waveform going, you kind of freeze up, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
yeah?
I think for me, we talk on the phone so much and laugh so much that, I mean, we're brothers and stuff, but yeah. there's an anonymity.
Yeah.
There's an escape hatch in hanging up the phone, but you're in front of me. And I feel like if I say something too crazy, I'm going to have to punch you.
I'm going to leap across the table at you.
Yeah. It's really weird to have you be looking down on me.
Yeah. Staring through.
No, you're teaching me how to do something. And normally I don't care. So
No, okay.
Kind of
no. Usually you're the one who teaches me to do stuff, though.
I've tried to teach you how to install a faucet. I didn't really work. There's not exactly room enough for to grow and bend underneath a kitchen sink in a mobile home.
Oh, but we tried. We tried so hard.
Yeah, we made it cozy.
we settled in. It was good.
Yeah. It was like Ghost, only with plumbing.
Yeah. No, it's strange for me to be the one who's like, set this up, and here's how you want this thing to be positioned. And
so, what is it that we want to talk about? Do we want to tackle issues?
Do we want to tackle issues?
Do we want to have a debate?
A debate? I don't know. I mean, I was thinking more lighthearted fare.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, do we want to rip this from the headlines, or do we want to just kind of go off our life experience? Because, like, if we're talking about my life experience, it's mostly video games and being annoyed with volunteers.
Why?
No, at my job.
Self-righteous?
Well, no, I'm just being...
Not you. Although now I know where you stand.
No, it's not that.
I think it makes me angry, and specifically when it comes to volunteer, like, fire or auxiliary police, is they get to drive a car that has lights mounted on it. Mm-hmm. And when I am trying to act like a police officer, I have to roll down my window and put my light on top.
You have to put up the bubble light?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that's real.
No, I nobody. Think, well, no.
What's a Bobby doing coming after me?
What's a Bobby
doing? I don't know. Why does he have a butterfly knife?
I mean, do you know how hard it is to get an authentic uniform? They count those.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They make sure, because there are people who, you know, like, I would say at least 1 in 8 cops you encounter is a fraud.
I think laws should be like recommendations.
What do you mean?
I don't know, like the government recommended, intake of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, so, like, maybe you should wear pants. We're just telling you it's probably a good idea.
No, we're saying that you really should understand the risk of not wearing pants.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But how do you enforce penalties in that kind of society?
Don't serve them.
Moreover, what law do you wish existed?
I don't want laws. I want recommendations.
What would you recommend to somebody?
I recommend that you probably not go around this turn at any more than 45 miles an hour.
Yeah?
Yeah. 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 And I think that, like, car wrecks should be left like shipwrecks. Because that would... Because, like, if you're trying to get on an island and there's, like, all these reefs and a bunch of wrecked ships that you can see... Maybe you don't try it.
So, yeah. Okay. So it's the example of your predecessor that dissuades you from misbehaving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, it's less distracting because, like, your eye is immediately drawn to, like, the handwritten sign on a flower cross on the side of the road. You're trying to read the date, and then there's your cross the next day. But if there was a car there that was all burnt out, nothing to see here.
Did you know that on the Atlantic coast of Africa, there exists a stretch of land called the Skeleton Coast, where exactly this kind of thing happens, actually?
Yeah.
It's the Skeleton Coast, which is like there are dead mammoths. There are like shipwrecks. They're just like it's nothing but just destruction and desolation the whole way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Well, did you know this?
Hmm?
Did you know this?
No, I'm just agreeing with
it. Yeah, no, it's a good practice. Yeah. I think it's like in Tanzania or something.
Whether it's real or not, I don't care. It's good.
No, you can look it up. I'm so combative. Like, I say something and nobody believes me when I say
See, that's the thing. I don't care if something's true.
No, but because you like the jibe behind it. You think that it...
I see through it. Yeah. Most things aren't true. And if they are true to you, they're probably not true to somebody else.
Right.
Like in my hand, my penis is average.
Do you want me to elaborate, or can I just leave that at a generality that I didn't really think?
No, about? I think we should spend the next 2 hours agreeing with each other. Okay. Saying, yeah, totally.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Amicable pie.
Amicable pie. Yeah, what was that, raspberry?
Pleasantry squared. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was just wondering what the most amicable of pies would be.
Well, if there can be a humble pie,
yeah,
then why can't there be a...
amicable pie? I think that, you know, there's such an opportunity there, because you know how, like, Jelly Bellies has, like, a flavor for, like, everything?
Humble Pie's a band.
Well, humble pie is also a saying. No, what I'm saying is we should market we should market food based on abstract concepts. Like, so like there's humble, you know, like you make humble pie, maybe there's a whole line of pies like regretful pie, you know, or disdainful pie, or an ennui smoothie.
Sinful pie?
Yeah, sinful pie. The so most sinful of
pies.
Has
razor blades in it.
Yeah. We do this on my other podcast a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This. Yeah?
Yeah, he used a different voice for that.
for that word?
Yeah. Well, no. When you talk about your other podcast, you talk in your that voice.
How would you describe that voice? I don't know.
I don't really know either. I mean, it doesn't make me angry.
No, it just makes me not want to listen.
No, not even that.
No? Okay.
I don't have... Oh, they need disdain, really?
No?
No.
You're not down with a disdain pie?
No, I don't eat that.
No?
Too much marshmallow. I wonder if maybe we should think about, like, things that we should talk about.
Okay.
Like, what's your greatest fear?
My greatest fear? Actually, it's funny that you asked me this, because I was laying in bed the other night in my house in Cincinnati, Ohio. And
are there two?
What's that?
Are there two Cincinnatis?
Actually, I think there are multiple Cincinnatis.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a Cincinnati, Kansas.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is. I guarantee you. But you were asking me about my greatest fear, and I was laying in bed in Cincinnati. And, you know, things are going okay, and I'm, you know, there's not an awful lot for me to be afraid of rationally, right? Having trouble sleeping. And my eyes pop open and I realize that I am deathly afraid of being murdered. Like, I don't feel like I'm...
Any certain way?
Stabbing mostly, but...
Okay.
No, but just kind of like, I'm not afraid of death. Yeah, like, well, whatever, you know, it'll be nice. But
let the record show that the speaker nodded, yes, I am.
You know, it's like, well, whatever. People die all the time. Happens every day.
Yeah.
You know, 40,000 people every day, as Blue Oyster Cult would say.
Yeah.
But,
No doubt, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that if death walked in the room right now, you'd fold up like a Chinese carryout box.
I would. I'd buckle like a pilgrim's hat. Yeah. But no, I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the prospect that somebody could murder me.
I think that's a new category.
Like a new category of what?
That's not even the possibility or the probability that, in this case, murder of you will happen. It's the fear of something could. And I have the exact opposite fear.
Which is?
I wake up every day fearing that I murdered someone.
Me?
No.
Is this like,
no.
Like I mean, it just, the same
answer? It has no name. It has no face. It's just the fear that I did something terrible in my sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you a sleepwalker?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Do you wake up strange places?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Which is it?
Huh?
Maybe.
Do I need an attorney?
Is there a possibility? I mean, do you have vivid dreams?
Why can't I go on, like, night sprints? Why do I have to eat a row of Oreos?
Do you see Ross out there doing wind sprints up and down the street at, like, 2 a.m.?
Totally out.
Yeah.
He was snoring.
I stopped him.
But no, I'm literally terrified of that.
I'm terrified of that. No, it's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, just kind of like, whatever. I die, but somebody takes my life. What right is it of theirs, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of anyone with that problem. You're totally different.
No. Really? Is that weird?
Huh?
Is that weird?
It's weird you'd let me convince you of that. I wouldn't say it's a phobia. It's a nighttime thing, right?
Yeah, it's a nighttime thing. It's not like I'm...
You're scared of the dark.
I'm not scared of the dark. I'm afraid of a sexy lady criminal coming in and stealing my jewels.
That's not what I'm afraid of.
You don't have jewels?
Hmm?
You don't have jewels?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Do you have any poetry books by Jewel?
No.
Just the anthology.
She's from Alaska.
Yeah. Lived in a car.
But, did she really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim Carrey lived in a car.
Did he?
Sure.
Man, do you think that's like something that you have to do to become famous?
I think that would be an interesting idea to kind of like elaborate on and to dig into. Really, what if you did? What if you went through all of the motions, you know? Like,
acted like you were famous?
Yeah. Just well, like, not even acted like you were famous, just like...
Convinced just made this, you were famous?
This voodoo doll of horrible experiences that people who are now successful have gone through, and you just like poked each spot one by one and experienced it on your own. Like, oh, this person lived in a car, and this person sucked 18 cocks and through a wall, like a plywood wall.
Yeah. Oh, glory hole.
Huh?
Glory wall. Like multiple glory
oral
holes.
Oral Plinko.
What?
Oral Plinko.
Is it playing fame bingo?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Can we compile this into a list of, like, you know, like, read through a bunch of, like, autobiographies?
Yeah, I think that you have to have an addiction.
You have to have
an addiction. I mean, that's paramount.
Yeah. Like, does it have to be a...
Which won't be really hard for me, because, like, I'm addicted to success right now.
Yeah?
So to personalize that translates over to, like, meth.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, I think that we need to look into that.
Look into making the stardom bingo card,
which would solve my fear of murdering it during my sleep.
If everybody else was a monster,
no. If I were to set up an I Am Legend situation,
I've never seen the movie, so I don't.
Like if I just set up mannequins as decoys, like I would murder them before then I would go back to bed.
No. Okay, so you have to figure out like you have to do it while you're awake first. You know, figure how many mannequins do I need to murder before I get tired.
Yeah.
And then you set up that many and hope.
But to the best of my knowledge, I haven't murdered anyone. So I think it's really only one.
It's only really one.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just thinking like aspiration, like on a good night's sleep with plenty of food and lots of, you know, you're well hydrated, putting your all into it. Right.
How many people could I murder?
How many people could you just chop your way through, right? And you just work your way through that many mannequins, and then any of the leftover ones you just take back and say, oh, they fell out of my truck or whatever. I had to buy a bunch of mannequins. Sometimes there's spoilage, right?
Sure.
It happens every day.
Yeah.
And then you set those up and you just say, like, this is what I know. This is the upper end. And hey, you know what? Maybe after a couple months, you build up your endurance and you slip past. But the thing is, you just gotta get more mannequins.
Yeah,
it's like a soak. It's like a crumple zone of regression.
Yeah, essentially. But I really think I just need one.
Just need one. Why just one?
Because I haven't murdered anybody yet.
I'm thinking prudently. I'm saying.
So am I. Why buy more mannequins than I need? Right now, I only need one.
But
and if you, one fails,
no. But say you know, say you.
Then when I get out, I'll buy two.
but say like first night, you know, you fall asleep and you get up and you just tear through that like a tissue paper condom, you know, you just ruin it, right?
Yeah.
And then you go on and you sate your bloodthirst, and it's like, oh gosh, I wish I would have bought three, because otherwise, you know, I would have tired myself out.
I just need one.
How convincing would these mannequins need to be?
I don't know. Just need to be in my way. I think the smaller the better, really. and the reason being is that if you like bump your chest into something,
mm-hmm.
not really that upset. But if something trips you or you stub your toe on it, ready to murder.
So is this like a mannequin you can stomp on?
No, there'd be no point in that.
No.
No.
But I mean, wouldn't you stub your toe on any size of mannequin, because they eventually have to touch the ground?
No. No.
No?
No.
Okay. So I'm thinking a mannequin that's standing still is not going to satisfy you, right? You want something that's going to move around. It's going to try and run. So here's
I want to sleep. I want to get the murdering out of the way as quickly as possible and then go to sleep.
No, I thought you were doing it while you were asleep.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about REM, dude.
What?
That's all that matters.
Okay, if I'm in a situation where you're like I want to get good and aggressive with this, right? I see a mannequin just standing there.
Well, this isn't like a stress ball.
No. I guess what I'm saying is, hear me out, okay?
If you do all of that while you're awake, you don't murder in your sleep.
Well, no, you just set it up and you reset it every night after you do the first one. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like a mobile of mannequins. Suspended from the ceiling on wires,
yeah,
spinning around, and that way when you walk out, then you know it looks like they're running away from you.
Keep the curtains shut so children's services don't show up.
No, you just you run it at night. You run it at night, and
these battered, bloody bodies swinging in a circle to ice cream truck music.
Well, no, I mean, I've got to defend the ice cream truck music here.
And if we're making a list of shit that freaks people out, that's on it.
Which song? Are we thinking about The Entertainer?
Which one is that?
You know, what is that? Do 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 do
do do do do. Sure.
Yeah?
I've never heard that come from an ice cream truck.
No, what have you heard? Saints Go Marching In?
No, it's the ice cream truck song. It's just one of them.
Could you sing the ice cream truck
song? Not a chance.
No, do it.
No, I really don't remember it.
No?
No. The song is affected by distance.
It is. It's the Doppler effect.
And there's a certain level, there's a certain closeness that it gets, that your level of excitement inside your brain turns off your auditory functions.
Yeah. Well, no, here's my problem. I'll be running a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in just like the white noise of that. Inside the white noise of every vacuum, I hear an ice cream truck. And I turn it off. I think, oh, is there an ice cream truck around here? I don't particularly like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm going to pick up my quarters and run out and, you know, slide tackle a bunch of kids out of the way and get a SpongeBob pop. But
yeah.
But I hear it and I think, okay.
You know, a senseless fear of mine is like the trunk style freezers.
Oh, like a chest, like
a
chest.
In a basement, yeah.
Yeah, like an ice chest.
Like basement trunk style freezers.
Yeah, not like the kind that you, you know. Like,
not with a door like a regular refrigerator or whatever. I'm talking about one that you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're playing The Legend of Zelda.
Okay,
whatever. Lost on you. Wrong totally. Podcast.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah, I'm scared of those.
Of them doing something? Or
Uh-huh.
Of them.
Of the freezers? No, yeah. What's in them?
What's in them in your darkest fear?
I think that my inability to be able to come up with what's in it.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm scared.
So you're in a dream.
The possibilities in my mind are limitless. They're not bound by this world.
So you're dreaming and you walk up to a basement ice chest cooler or freezer, and you open it up, and like the second you peer down inside, you wake up just covered in cold sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I peer down inside, and I think that the movie Little Monsters did this to me, because that's what I see.
What's more terrifying about a chest freezer than an upright freezer to you?
The light.
There's no light?
No, there is light. Oh. It's very yellow.
Yeah?
Like old, clouded, plastic yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Like something that you see on the set of Seven.
Never saw that.
Never saw that movie? It's a great movie. Watch it. Morgan Freeman. Brad Pitt.
Be totally Kevin lost. Spacey. I didn't see 1 through 6.
That's more important job than like we think.
What?
Ghost hoaxes?
Yeah.
Because you got to figure, if you're a con man...
I'm pretty sure that that's what the guys who play Santa at the mall do the rest of the year.
Gosh. No, you know what? I knew... I have met an actual Santa.
Really?
Like, he's a member of the Santa's Guild.
Really?
Yeah. I was in Austin, Texas
mm-hmm.
for the Collegiate Broadcasters
sure.
thing.
That's plausible.
I was in Austin, Texas at a convention.
Uh-huh.
And he was... giving like this talk about like 101 ways to promote your radio station. So when I was still with the student radio, and it was like dropped into conversation. He was an older gentleman, very, very well spoken, like, and just like he dropped it into conversation that like I'm a Santa.
What did you say?
It wasn't like a conversation. It was
He just dropped it into conversation.
He was giving the presentation.
Oh, like, so he was a really good speaker. He felt like he was talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was very personal. It was very intense.
You started to respond, didn't you?
I did. It's like, oh, that's neat, Mr. Claus. Yeah, they do. It's
no, I hate that.
You
when I do it.
I think 4 years of college has allowed me to master the art of nodding thoughtfully
mm-hmm.
because I like being perceived as paying attention.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I like to be pointed out in a crowd.
This guy gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I take multiple numbers, the deli at the BMV, number 23. Yeah. Here. Why not? Right.
Yeah. No,
you take attention.
I do one of these.
That shows you're actively listening.
Well, that's kind of buzzwordy for me, but no, I've determined that I have a specific, I don't know if you would call it an aphasia.
What is an aphasia?
Oh, no, an aphasia is like a speech disorder.
Oh.
Like where you can't finish a sentence.
Is it that is the speech? It's not. That's not a type of.
It's like a broad category of things. Like you might not be able to remember a person's name. They're just like you'll know the name, but you just can't say it.
Really?
Yeah. It's an aphasia, right?
Okay.
And I don't know if it's called this, but oftentimes when I'm speaking, I will go on at length about a particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like telling a story or exploring a concept or thinking it through out loud with somebody. And it's for no purpose other than to ultimately say, I don't know, that's just kind of interesting. See, I'm illustrating it right now. Like, do you do this? Is this something that you do? Like, where you'll find yourself just, like, talking and then, like, there's nothing left to say. Like, saying everything that you need to say is one thing, but then, like, you feel like there's a need to... to put a cap on what you're saying. And ultimately, it just comes out to, oh, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I have certain catchphrases, certain punchlines that I inject into conversation. I use one today.
Okay.
One of my standards is that's counterintuitive to most conservative ideology.
I almost spit.
Most people of my race in this region.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. What race is that?
Pretty much everyone agrees.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even limit it. I mean, I know I put stipulations on it, but that's not real. It's everybody.
It's everybody. Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
No, you say it to a
stranger. And that in itself is counterintuitive to most conservative ideologies.
Do you find the conservative ideology comes up in your conversations most days?
No.
Just occasionally. But it's enough. It's enough for you to consider it a catchphrase.
It's not really a catchphrase. It's more like a summary of a relevant conversation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me something that will lead up to that.
For some reason, when people hear that, they think that they're right. It's almost like there's just, in my blind comment of nothingness, that's literally just big fancy words tied together. they find affirmation. It's like their life finds meaning at that junction, at the point at which that they have struck down the system and been counterintuitive. They're rebels of their own sect.
Yeah. Okay. So it's soothing to them.
I guess I don't know.
It lets them. Like, just, well, what's another one of your catchphrases?
That's it. That's all I have.
That's
just the one I used today.
That's just the one you used today.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying out new ones all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard because you got to find somebody to talk to that you really don't care.
Like the chances of me talking to you again, if not very small, I'm not gonna like. I don't care what you think about what I have to say. So I feel fine dropping in a. Well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a little. It's like a little. It's a cracker. It's a breadcrumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something you throw out there for ducks to feed on.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, just like that. That's
another. I was a car salesman. That's how I did it too today.
I think that we just stumbled upon another one.
Which is.
Because you just said, you know, breadcrumb. And I said, it's like feeding ducks. Here's another one. Drop this one in the next time you're talking to somebody and you feel the need to say, oh, well, I'm just throwing ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to say is like, oh, I'm just feeding ducks here. It's like, wait, just feeding ducks?
That's like a riddle. That in itself is not, that doesn't draw anything to a close.
But it feels so folksy.
It is folksy.
Yeah. But that like overrides everything else.
That's just like, if you could somehow have like a telescoping banjo, you could just like pull out of your pocket.
It's like, okay, I need to hit a low G.
Yeah. That's folksy.
Yeah, that's pretty folksy.
But that inspires intrigue. That's not what I'm going for.
No, so you're not trying to inspire anything further. Like,
no.
Oh, that's interesting.
And if there's anybody that you should know that, it's you, because you invented the term surprise sex.
I know. I don't know if I invented it. I can't take credit for it. I'm pretty sure it existed.
Almost
elsewhere
things,
in
most
the world.
Things do.
I mean, you know, it's not like I. You know, invented the concept of being, you know, blasé about sexual assault.
Yeah,
I don't think I am. Did I do that? Was that
I
me?
Do, well, see,
was that it, was that me?
No, that I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay,
but I think it's important to leave people, you know, feeling good.
See, I like throwing folksy things in because it's so contrary to my general demeanor.
You're shooting to try to get people to repeat it.
I think it's disarming. I feel like I want to start something up because, like, on my other show, I threw out the acronym DTB.
What is that?
In reference to a woman, DTB. She's down to bone. It's like I want to start stuff up. I want to be an iconoclast. I want to get in there and I want to
use that word a lot.
I know I do. It's on my word a day calendar.
It makes me angry.
No, but I just want to get in there and like, you know, be neurotic about, you know, a book I'm reading or whatever. And then casually drop into the conversation. You know, it's like, man, you know what? That makes me angrier than a long tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. And
you're all over the place, man.
And then I want to see how far that carries. I want to see if that gets back around to me.
Yeah. I think the goal is to try to make something that somebody wants to repeat, though.
Yeah, no, you just like you could be, you just try.
You don't want to make up your own vocabulary.
Well, you just throw this out there, and you know you're just feeding ducks most of the time, but eventually something sticks.
Yeah, kind of like feeding ducks. Sorry. It's not about that. It's not about pummeling one singular person over and over until they're just like, fine, dude, I'll feed ducks with you.
But it's fun. It's soothing. You feel like, you're doing something.
That's being like a stalker.
Am I stalking a concept here?
Yeah.
Gosh.
And it's creepy. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good about myself.
Well, I'm not worried about how you feel.
I'm on the alert.
Yeah.
Because even if I was just to, like, unknowingly just, like, let one slip, you know, like, if I was just to, like, feed the ducks.
Like, I would feel vindicated.
You would feel vindicated, but
You would feel used.
I'm, like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So if I do, I become what I hate, and it doesn't make me feel good.
No, I know.
That's very
pretty. If you stare into the abyss stares back.
Who said that?
Might have been Lovecraft. I'm thinking Lovecraft. Oh no, it was Nietzsche.
Oh
yeah,
that's a long way off, dude.
What? I don't even know what you're getting at here.
I have no idea.
We are off the reservation.
No, nope.
There is no map for where we're at.
You oftentimes try to summarize things.
I do,
with a quirky little anecdote.
What do you mean? Get like, what did I just do there in these past like 30 seconds?
We are staring. We have derailed. We are staring into the abyss.
No, that's not so much an anecdote. That is a.
Can't you make it your own? We're staring into the abyss, and.
Well, no. I was talking
there's
about
a chance of rain. I don't know.
Well, it's the rainy season in the abyss. So I can't control that.
Yeah, rates are low. Chase the devil tonight. Chase the devil tonight.
Oh! Oh! This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.